Friends, welcome to the Helping Friendly Podcast. This is a quick hit for August 4th, 2017 at Madison Square Garden. This was night 11 of the Baker's Dozen, and it was Lemon Night. This is Matt here, and with me in the guest role today, because he was actually the one of the four of us that was at the show last night, is Jonathan. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, Matt. How's it going?
It's going pretty good. I got to tell you, I watched that show late night last night, and I thought it was a doozy. I don't know. What'd you think?
Man, it was great. We had a great time. It was a lemon poppy seed glazed donut, which was delicious, as always, from the Federal Donuts. And the first set was rocking and full of just good material and a lot of fun, and the second set was crazy. It was crazy, in a great way. Just absolutely loved it. So we can get into some detail on it here in a minute, I think. But yeah, all in all, good night. Sold out, so that you know, the place is full. In fact, the rest of the the rest of the weekend is sold out too. So it's going to be. It's going to be pretty wild in there.
Yeah, I don't know that I've seen the ticket fervor quite this crazy in a really long time. I mean, even beyond kind of recent New Year's and Halloween runs. I know I have one close friend who shall remain nameless who I believe paid about $500 for a ticket tonight.
What?
I mean, that's like the degree that people are going to. Because it's just, I mean, this is somebody who's seen some other shows on the run. And he's like, I just have to get inside. I have to be there tonight. I can't possibly miss it.
Yeah, so, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
I have little doubt, and yeah, it's because they're really really doing it. So the I think the ticket fervor is just indicative of how well they are performing. Because you're right, even like Halloween last year, the things were sold out, but you could get tickets. You could get tickets. People were having trouble getting rid of tickets for all the first two nights. So this is, we've come a long way in a different direction at this point. They've really, moved forward and raised the bar, or moved the sticks, whatever you want to call it. But everybody is quite reasonably excited to get inside to see these shows.
Yeah. Yeah. So before you and I get into detail on this, let's go to a couple of, listener submissions that we had, for quick reviews last night.
Hey, this is Randon from Section 112 at Set Break on Friday night, Baker's Dozen, night 11. Great set, crowd is awesome. What a tube to close it out. Thank you, Fish, for this party. And guys, thank you for doing such a great podcast all these 2 weeks. Party on, everybody.
What's up, HF Pod? This is Andrew. Just got done listening to night 11 of the Baker's Dozen, Lemon Donut Night. And, I mean, the first thing I think you really got to talk about at this show was set two. The Radiohead cover. I'm not a big Radiohead fan, but for the people that are, I can only imagine how special of a moment that was to watch Fish cover Radiohead. And I thought they did a pretty good job. That Sense and Subtle Sounds and Prince Caspian, what they were doing at the end of Caspian is, there's no words for it. I don't know. It's just, it's mind-blowing. The sounds that they're making, just unreal. Frankenstein Encore, Page being the front man, you gotta love it. I'll be there the next two nights. This weekend is gonna be amazing. This whole thing has been a blast. Take care, you guys.
Okay, thank you. That was awesome. And one more reminder that if you want to send us some quick reviews of the last two nights, tonight and tomorrow, go ahead and take a quick recording on your phone and email it to helpingfriendlypodcast@gmail.com, and we'll include it here so you can tell the world what you think of the show and how awesome it was. So
I think I'm going to do that for tomorrow so I don't have to wake up and take a phone call.
That's a good idea. You should get some sleep. In fact, I actually might we'll see how successful this is. I'm having a bunch of people over to watch the show at my house tonight, and I might at set break get some reactions from people, just get them around the mic and see what people are doing. So
that'd be interesting.
So yeah, so I want to hear about your experience at the show last night. I'll tell you briefly what my kind of experience with the show was. I went to see Roger Waters here in DC last night at the Verizon Center, and my plan was, as I did a couple weeks ago when I was at a show on a Saturday night, to go see live music and then immediately come home and stream the Fish show late night. And so I did that, and it was funny because I was chatting with RJ before the show, and he was like, I told him what I was going to do, and he said, do you want me to like not text you at all during the show? Are you going to kind of go spoiler free or anything? I said, no, don't worry about it. You know, I'll probably look at the set list and stuff like that. And to be honest with you, I probably won't be looking at my phone at all. If I'm into the show. And there reached a point at which I had my phone in my pocket and it was vibrating constantly for about 2 or 3 minutes straight. And I was like, I've got to see what the hell is going on. And I wish I'd taken a screenshot of like the texts and tweets that were coming in when they went into everything in its right place. I think, you know, people just generally freaking out, and a lot of friends of mine knowing that I'm a huge Radiohead nut as well. And so it was just, I was one of those things. I was like, what are they doing? Cause I just, and all the texts and everything just said like, holy shit, wow, oh my God. And I had no idea what happened. And I actually put my phone back in my pocket and I was like, I'm not even going to look. I know something amazing happened. I'm just going to get in the show. And it just kept vibrating and vibrating.
Find out later.
I've got to see what's going on here. So it was pretty awesome to be able to watch that later, even though it was from the couch.
I was ignoring my phone pretty well through the show. But at one point, pretty late during Fluffhead, I pull it out of my pocket, and I see that one of my friends who was not at the show, who was at home following along, texted, God damn it. And as I could tell, he was just fed up with what he was missing. It's too bad. I think, though, it's been said on this podcast already. I think it was Scott at Tortweet who said something like this. I'm going to re-paraphrase. If you see any of these shows, you know, you're succeeding at Fish, or you're winning at Fish. Even if you're at home listening, you're in the know, you're hip to some amazing music that's happening. So even if you can't be here, you know, you're getting some pretty great shit out of it. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk about that great shit.
So let's talk about it. So, what were your impressions of the first set?
So, opener was awesome. A little Blind Lemon Jefferson, See That My Grave Is Kept Clean, or One Kind Favor, as it is also called on, you know, various versions and various records. It was cool. It was a little like a cabaret blues kind of thing. Page really stood out, but Trey's solos were really nice, and I liked the way he sang it. Didn't put a big stretch on his vocals, and really carried off nicely. Dark song, kind of a dark opener. And then, you know, Punch was cool. Party Time was stretched a hair. Big Black Furry Creatures, I'm a big fan of, as listeners probably know, anytime Fish wants to go dark or heavy or whatever, I'm on board. So Big Black Furry Creatures is, of course, also nutty, and that really just, I loved it. That was a lot of fun. I've been seeing Fish since 1994, and I saw my first Dinner in a Movie last night.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those that I've missed by one night a few times, and, or, you know, they played in the one time on tour, they played in Vegas, and I didn't go out west, you know, so. Just dumb luck all this time, but finally got to see it. It was a good ocelot, state type one, but it was fun. Quick little pour heart. Winter Queen was beautiful, as they tend to be. We got the Bold as Love that everybody's looking for on the Rainbow Jimmy's night. And then First Tube was just rocking First Tube. So I think Powerhouse first set, you know, there were some flubs or some whatever, but the energy was strong. The audience was way into it, so feeding back well against the band. And, you know, we were excited by what we had just seen at the set break. And, of course, knowing something had to be coming in the second set. So we were really, really jazzed.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I mean, watching it from the couch, you could tell the level of energy, and maybe this was just because, you know, I was in the room last week and he'll still have some kind of vivid sense memory about it, but you could like really get the feeling of the amount of energy in, particularly during party time in First Tube, that it's just, you know, once again, and kind of keeping with the theme of everything being a little bit elevated above standard versions, you know, even First Tube, Mike was playing the bass line differently in the beginning, just altering it, adding one note each time he played the pattern, and, you know, until they started the song. But just like little things like that. And then you could tell when it hit kind of that mid song peak after the first verse, air quotes there, that, it, you know, I'm sure it, I could just practically feel the building rocking, you know, watching it from the TV. Was that?
Yeah, that thing peaked pretty hard. It was pretty great. Then set two, you know, I made a perfect little run during set break, grabbed some water, used the head, came back, walked out through the tunnel right as the lights went down, got to my seat as they started singing Dim Bones. I really love the sound they're getting now with the four mic rig that they use for the acapella stuff. It gives it through the PA on soundboards, and also because it's coming so nicely through the PA, I think that the audience recordings pick them up a lot better, the acapella stuff. And Dim Bones is very cool. It's the first time did they play that in Vegas? I don't even know.
First time
I remember seeing it, but maybe I have seen it. But it was cool. And then
they did not play in Vegas. They did it The Man last summer.
So I did not see that. And then No Men in No Man's Land was just a dance party. They dropped into that and everybody was on their feet if they weren't already and getting down. It was great. And then it got weird. Got into some like crazy space, and the guy next to me I was sitting with people that I had never met before. And so lately at shows, I've been kind of going off on my own, kind of bouncing on my friends who are wonderful and great to see shows with. But I've been having an interesting time kind of going somewhere by myself and then just kind of getting to know the people sitting around me. And I've met some really interesting people. So I met these guys, this guy Scott last night, whose first show was back in 93. And he was with some cool folks. They were all out from Colorado and a couple of them from Albany. And Scott leans over and says to me, kind of deep No Men and No Man's Land jam, he says, "Sounds like Quadraphonic Toppling." And I listen, and I was like, "Yeah, it kind of does." And then Fitman kicked up the drum beat that became Everything in Its Right Place. It no longer sounded like Quadraphonic Toppling. It sounded like, well, I didn't know. Trey starts leaning over, talking to Paige, and then they start doing it. And it was crazy. Now, it doesn't really sound – it doesn't sound like Radiohead up there doing it. It sounds like Fish. But I think it's somewhere in the middle. It's not – somebody said, "Oh, it's just a wacky Fishman song," but it's super – it's totally not that. It's bizarre, spacey, psychedelic music and not quite in the vein of anything that Fish really does day to day. And I loved it. Trey was playing with samples of Fish's vocal on a chaos pad right there beside him, like Nels Klein or something. You know, he's got his whole little table of toys now. And it was bizarre. And then it went into what's the use? And so it was, look, I'm not really, I haven't really sat and tried to formulate a lot of words. I have not re-listened to it, so I can't get any deep, profound statements on it, but I thought it was just great. What's the use was cool. I don't know, maybe on the floor it got real quiet, but it didn't get super, super quiet where we were. Band did, but the audience, they toned down, but they didn't get super quiet. And then Surprise jumped into Sense and Subtle Sounds, which is, that was rocking. And probably about 8 minutes in, they fully reprised and basically finished No Men in No Man's Land. Don't really see that. They talk about it as a tease, but to me it was, and many of my friends who were there, it really settled right back into No Men and finished that. And then they went into just another tremendous weird jam. Really creative and fascinating music there. And that took us into Caspian. Good Caspian, good Fluffhead closer. And then Frankenstein, which had a nice little extra bit in the spacey break. So all in all, I mean, the set two was just trippy and weird and a lot of fun. So,
yeah, I loved the execution of everything in its right place. I mean, of course, it's not perfect. And if you're looking for it to be a exact replica of, you know, the way that Radiohead would do it, then you're going to be disappointed. But I thought
there's plenty of YouTube videos of Radiohead playing it. Yeah, go listen to that.
Exactly.
If that's what you want to hear, it's out there.
Exactly. Well, I thought that like a lot of other covers that they do, it was that song the way that only Phish could do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And even down to, I was super impressed at the way that Trey was using the K oscillator. You know, even very quickly switching to it for the rest of the set and throwing the samples in and manipulating them. It was very, very impressive the way that, you know, he was kind of fluidly using it. I don't know if he has a lot of experience or if Mike gave him a real good tutorial before the show or if they've been practicing this for a couple weeks. But, I mean, it didn't seem thrown together. I'll put it that way. I think they definitely knew what they were doing there. And, you know,
I hope he keeps playing with it.
Yeah, I think that would be really neat. I mean, it would be even beyond Phish's voice, you know, if kind of in the vein of Radiohead, if they could kind of just take any samples or any sounds and kind of sample them and throw them back out there. I thought, you know, it might be a nice new little tool. Of course, could also become the next marimba, but you never know. But I think the other thing that really, really stuck out to me overall in set two was how fast on their feet the whole band was in terms of throwing out really well thought out ideas. Trey, he was very riffy last night, like particularly in the No Men's and then the Sense and Subtle Sounds. You know, really, really like solid riffs that he was throwing out there that the band was able to attach to. And I really liked that a lot. I don't know if you were able to pick up on that as well.
Oh yeah. I think everybody, look, they're playing strong. So even somebody's going to say, well, it's this composed thing or that. And certainly I'm not going to disagree with that. But the energy they're delivering, the quality of the transitions and the improvisation, the group think that is happening on stage is so strong that it's just outstanding.
Yeah.
They really are achieving next level Phish, whatever that really means. Somebody said, is this Phish 4.0? I said, this is probably Phish X, because you got to rebrand every once in a while. I'm loving it. And more tonight.
Yeah, well, and it's, I mean, think about, like, I'm looking at this set list there. It's funny, because No Men's was a scorcher. Everything in its right place and What's the Use was sort of the more weird ambient kind of middle section. Really no ballads in the entire set. I mean, you know, you can't call, at this point, I don't think you can call Caspian that. But then look at the level of energy, Sense and Subtle Sounds through that insane jam. I agree with you, that was really back into No Men's. Prince Caspian with an insanely raging ending the way that it's been lately. And then Fluffhead, which is like, you know, I mean, just has, you could take a complete snoozer show and they can play Fluffhead and it's going to lift it up and get the crowd to go crazy. And that was the other one that I could tell, and I'm sure you could probably confirm, like, the level of energy in the room during Fluffhead, you know, particularly Fluff came to New York and Powerful Pills lines. It was like you could hear the crowd almost louder than the band, even on the webcast.
Place was exploding. Everybody was losing it, and it was a lot of fun. So I keep saying that because I'm just short on words and sleep, but yeah, it was pretty potent.
Yeah, and I know RJ's been, you know, lightly bashing the one song encores, but I think if you're going to get one song, throwing something like Frankenstein out there is awesome, and that's another one where they had more Everything in Its Right Place samples thrown in. I mean, it was just really
nothing
nice.
Nothing could be more entitled. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but nothing could be more entitled than complaining about a one song encore when encores themselves are additional. You know, Jerry Garcia Band, Jerry never played encores with the Jerry Band because he felt like, well, I already played the show, you know, whereas Grateful Dead just had kind of agreed upon the guaranteed encore structure. He's like, I'm not doing that. And,
yeah.
And so watch out, people. Someday Fish might do that.
Yeah.
And you should still better enjoy the show.
You hear that, RJ? Quit your bitching, man.
That's what I say. This is what happens when he doesn't come on.
That's right. Excellent. Well,
so you want to leave him with some rock and roll music? I would say if you could go in at about the middle of Sense and Subtle Sound so they can hear the No Men reprise and some of that weird ass jam that followed, then I think that would be my recommendation.
Excellent. I think we'll do that, and I'll throw one thing out. I was hoping that you were going to say that because just before we got on here, I was re-listening or re-watching last night. Watch out for when they go back into the No Men's. Trey starts sort of scat singing a little bit with himself. He goes like, No Men's, No Men's, No Men's. When he finishes that up and goes back to just playing guitar, listen to what he plays in the first like four bars there. It's unbelievable. It's like some of the most fiery guitar playing I've ever heard him play. I mean, it's just magical. So
was it incendiary?
Incendiary guitar. So, all right. Well, thanks for joining us. Get back to your New York escape. We will talk to you, hopefully you and everybody out in listener land tomorrow for the second to last quick hit of the Baker's Dozen. Thanks, everyone.
All right, man. Thanks for doing this. Be well, everyone. Thank you.
We'll be right back.